organize my thoughts yet. So I apologize if there are mistakes or if it's disorganized, but try our best. So the Gemara on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Amr Yosi, Katan Hamutal Be'arisa Mezamnin Alav. V'atanan Nashim Avadim Ktanim Ein Mezamnin Alayhen. Hudamar Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi. Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi. Aval Pish Amru Katan Hamutal Be'arisa Mezamnin Alav. Aval Ozen Oso Sniff La'asara. So here we have this kid, little baby, and he can't count towards a zimun of three, but he can count towards a zimun of 10. So the shaila is why? Why would we be machalik? So the Rush, a little bit later on in the sugya, and Simon Chaf explains that the maila of 10 is because of an ikdashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael. So what? So that's shaykh even to Ketanim. At least that's what Rav Yehuda ben Levi holds. In other words, they and that's the idea of sniff. So we don't fully count them, but because the Indian is Besoch B'nai Yisrael, and to some degree we could consider them Besoch B'nai Yisrael, Masha'en Ken Shlosha. Shlosha, you need three participants. And this katan would not be a participant. So the Gemara asks Akasha from the story of Rabbi Eliezer, who was Meshachar Avdo, and he was Meshachar Avdo to be Maslam Minyan. The Gemara assumes that just like we allow the Katan Amusel Barisa to be Maslam a Minyan for Zimun, so too we'd be able to be Maslam a Minyan for other Dvarim Shebekedusha. And so the Gemara asks, why did Rav Elazar have to free his Eved? Why couldn't he have counted him as a tenth? The Gemara says there were two Avadim over there. And then the Gemara asks, 1 second, how could he even free his Eved in the first place? That's Aser. L'olamem tavodu. It's mitzvah baba avera. So the Gemara answers, mitzvah derabim shani. So what is this all about? If you take a look at Tosus Psachim, nun tes amud aleph dimasu asi, Tosus explains that we have a principle of asay doch elos asay, but we know that you have to be mekayim the asay when you're being over on the los asay. You can't preemptively be mekayim, first do the asay, and then violate the los asay. So asay is also doch asay. In this case here, we have the asay of Tfila b'tzibur. We have the asay of Leolam Bam Tavodu. So asay, the way the Tosus explains it, I think, is that asay could be docha asay when it's an asay derabim, even though it's not at the same time. Fine. But the question still is, how could an asay of a derabanan be docha another asay that's a deraisa? After all, Leolam Bam Tavodu, freeing the Avadim, L'chora, is an Isser Asay Mid'oraisa. So there's a run in Gittin, Yav Chof Amud Beis, and the run says the following. The run says that Mashma Delav Asay Gamorhu. See that this isn't an Asay Gamor? Likewise, Mehasham the Ritva, Gittin, Lamed Chasma Beis, Mehasham Inan, the Lava Se Gamahu, Elisur de Rabbanan, the Zamach Leakra, Rabbi Akiva de Amar, La Kaman Chova, Chova de Rabbanan Ke Amar. In other words, you're right. Wouldn't make any sense to actually say we're dealing with the Deoraisa here, because there's no way in Asay could be docha, an asay de rabbanan could be docha an asay de oraisa, even if it's an asay de rabbin. Now, in Gittin, the Gemara doesn't say asay de rabbin, and that's another important point. But if we look at the Rush over here, the Rush on our simon Sugya says something quite remarkable. We actually invoked this Rush on our first shiur in the parak when we talked about why it is that Zimun is such an important thing. And the Rush writes, Tanu Rabbanan, this is Simon Chas, about 10 lines in. In other words, this is not just an essay de Rabbanan, because it's a kiyum of the Nikdashti B'Sof B'nei Yisrael. When you say Kaddish and Kedusha, that's a kiyum of Nikdashti. Tahainu asay the Mekadjinus Hashem Basar B'Rabbi. Va'afilu have milsa de Rabbanan, kegon l'shma Kedusha Baruch Hu. In other words, it's true, the concept is de Rabbanan, Kedusha Baruch Hu, only de Rabbanan. Shalom matinu lo ikar min haTorah. Afilu hachi, dachi asay de yachid. Delo mistaber, and he says, delo mistaberli demaisi v'asara de Raisa. Where would you ever have asara de Raisa? You go and look at Parsha Zachar, Shehumina Torah. Now, what's interesting is that you see here the Rush is assuming that Parsha Zachar with a minion is a deraisa, which is a chiddush. But that's a very big ukimt over here. It doesn't say that he was Meshachar Avdo Dafsa in Parsha Zachar. So it sounds like any time for Kaddish and Kedusha, and that's because. That's because, like he says, it is a kiyum of the Nikdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael. If we take a look, other Rishonim say that maybe the Isser of L'Olam Em Tavodu is only, or it's actually the Ran that I mentioned, that it's only if there's no reason for it. But if there's a reason or a purpose, like in this case, the Rashi Levinian, it would be okay. Now, if we take a look at Tosos, Tosos quotes a Behag here that he rejects. Tosos, mitzvah derabim, mikan kasha le Behag, de piresh, de mi shemes lomes viyantav ha'achron, davelos noi, the loas viyantav ha'achron, de rabbanan, the dachi avelos de oraisa, de chsiv achrisak yomar, de acha chazinan, de asya tfila de rabbanan, the Dach Yikra, the Li'olam Bem Tavodu. The Bahag Shita is that what's the halacha if someone dies on Yantav Acharon? The Bahag assumes that Avelos Yom Rishon is De'oraisa. And therefore, Avelos Yom Rishon De'oraisa should be Doche, the Din De'Rabbanan of Yantav Sheni. And we don't say Yantav Derabbanan is Docha Avelos Deraisa. Why? Dehacha Chazinan, the Tfila Derabbanan, the Dach Yikra, the Li'olam Em Tavodu. Why? Because it's Rabim. Now, Tosus is assuming that Yantav is also Rabim. And therefore, since Yantav is Rabim, so Memela, Yantav Derabbim should trump Asay deraisa of Yachid of Avelos. So that's his kasha on the Behag. Now it could be that if you learn our sugya like Rashi, that wouldn't be a raya. I don't know that Rashi agrees to the Behag. There's no reason to assume that. But the way Rashi reads this Gemara, Tosis' kasha wouldn't be a kasha because Rashi says mitzvah de rabim lahotzi rabim yidecho vasam bikdusha. Interesting. First of all, there's a chova. That's the way we look at it. So there's a chova on the rabbim to say kedusha. That's why it's docha. It's not just that it's shayach to the rabbim. It's lahotzi rabbim yidei chovasam, meaning to say without being mishach of the seved, the rabbim wouldn't be yotzen yidei chovasam. Whereas even if yantif is an asay de rabbim in a certain sense, Tosus assumes it's an asay de rabbim because that's actually what the Gemara says. The Gemara in talking about why. Yantif is Docha Avelos and Avelos isn't Docha Yantif. It does call Yantif a Rabin. But nevertheless, here, what we mean by Rabin, perhaps according to Rashi, is going further. It's not just that it's a mitzvah that's Shayach to the Rabin. but it's davka to be motzi rabim yidei chovasam. So in that case, to be motzi rabim yidei chovasam, that's when we'll be docha the asay diyachid. But in the case of avelos, if this guy becomes an avel, so the rabim will still be yotzi yidei chovasam. So therefore, maybe you could, the Bahag wouldn't be Akasha. Also, if you learn like the Rush, it wouldn't be Akasha, because here the mitzvah derabim isn't just a regular derabana, but it's been Akdash to Bisof B'nei Yisrael, one which is particularly chamor. You had your hand up, Yosef?
I wanted to ask from Boyd
Khan. Okay, good. So, the Gemara continues, and it has a number of very interesting opinions as to who could count towards the Zeman. So, oh, I didn't record. Oh, I did record, sorry. I hope I'm recording. Anyway, one of the opinions is, it says that if you have Tisha v'Aron, they're mitzdarev. Another opinion is, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim ha-mechadid in zeh zeh be'alacha, they're mitzdarev. So you have two Talmidei Chachamim that are, you know, you see the importance of a chavrusa, because two people that sharpen each other in learning, it's like three. So the Gemara asks, how could this be, right? Is Atu Aron Gavrahu, right? Is Shabbos a God? How could Shabbos be mitzvah to a Zeman? So obviously we don't pass on like that opinion, but still we have to ask, what were they thinking? What was the tzad that an Aron is mitzvah, that Shabbos is mitzvah, that Shnei Talmidei Chachamim are mitzvah? So l'chora the biur is that you don't need shlosha, you need something chashav. And I think this is more or less the way that Slach says it. The idea of Zimun shel shlosha is it gives their achila some type of chashivas, kvios, and our havamina is, if you have two that are particularly chashav, that would count as well. Shabbos, Aron, all those things add to the kvios and the chashivas. And therefore, it would have this, it would be able to make a Zimun. Yes?
What about the fact that you talk about Deos? I understand what maybe they say, tell me the comment.
So, in Achinami, but even over there, remember, the Gemara said it was, that was a dechia, right? We wanted to bring a raya, and we say, no, shani nashim, that they're dead. In other words, that there's a diff, you can't equate two men with three women, because three women is in fact different than two men, dekadeus. Now, if the Gemara was saying definitively you need shalosh deos, then we would be rejecting these views. And in fact, the maskana might be that we do need shalosh deos. But the Gemara didn't said that in a context of being docha the raya. But who's to say, do we know explicitly from the Mishnayos or the Braisos that you need shalosh deos? No, that was a dechia of the Gemara. And therefore, perhaps it's not a raya. So the Gemara then continues, and it says that Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, katan poreach mezamnin alav. And we bring a brisa that supports this. What exactly is katan poreach? So Rashi says that katan poreach means he has sairos. So why is he not a gadol? He's not yet 13. That's Shitas Rashi. According to Rashi, when the Gemara says Ein Medaktikin, that would mean we're not Medaktik B'shanim. In other words, we don't insist that he be 13. Now, if you take a look at Rabbeinu Yona over here, Lamed Hay Amud Aleph B'daf Harif, he writes that when it says Ein Medaktikin, that means that we're not medactic that he needs to be 13, and that would be like Rashi, as opposed to the other Rishonim who say ain medactic, and means we're not medactic that the Sa'aros be complete. Not because this, the interpretation of most of the other Rishonim, they reject Rashi, Tosfos. He holds like the Rach. And what does the Rach say? That Katan Poreach means he doesn't have Syros, proper Syros yet. He has premature Syros, Syros that don't have the shear of Syros, they won't fold over onto itself. And therefore, Ein Medaktikin doesn't mean we're not medaktik about the age, it means we're not medaktik about the Syros. We'll let this Katan Poreach be mitzvah. Then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, the last top of Mem Chesamid Aleph, the last Hilchos of Kol Hanish Maitita, Elaki Hada Amar of Nachman, Katan Yodel Ami Mevarchen, Mizamnin Alav. So what does that mean? So this is interpreted differently by the different Rishonim. Probably the easiest way to read the Gemara, and this is the view of the Rif and the Rambam, is what it means is we don't paskin like all the previous opinions. Rather, there's only one criteria. If the katan is yodaya lemi mevarchim, then he could be included in a zimun. And if not, then he can't be included. And that's the only criteria. We'll see, Tosfos objects, because then we're just summarily rejecting the earlier opinions, even those that were cited that had a brisa to support them. That's strange. But certainly the simplest reading of the Gemara sounds like there's only one criteria. So you have to be Yodea, Lami, Mevarchim. So that's the view of the Rambam and the Rif. Now,
this is talking about the Zimun of 10 or Zimun of 3?
Oh, so that's a very good question, which we will have to figure out. Excellent question. That's a machlokas. So is there any age restrictions at all if you follow the Rambam and the Rif, or no? As long as he's yodeh lemi mezamnin, lemi mevarchim, that's sufficient, right? And if we don't know, we'll ask him, you know, like in the story of the Gemara, we'll ask him, where is God, and see what he does. So there is a little difference, because if you look in the Rif, I think he says 8-9. And if you look at the Rambam, I think it was 7-8. So it's a little strange. Why is the Rambam is presumably going with the sheet of the Rif? Why does he change the age? So the way that Tashbetz explains it, I believe, is that really the age is not of essence. Really, what we need is peutos. Peutos is the age of 6, and that's 6 years old. But that's physical age. He needs to be mentally able to have a certain understanding of what Birkas HaMazon is and who he's benching to. And so the Rambam, the Rif says, you know, typically that's 8-9, and the Rambam says 7-8. It's not a machlokas. The Rambam didn't mean to argue with the Rif, and maybe both of them would agree in theory anybody above the age of 6 would be sufficient. So Bekitzer, there's, I guess, two ways to understand these Rishonim. One way is to say, again, I think it's the view of the Tashbetz, that everybody really holds of the whole thing. Above Peutos, plus this certain understanding of Birkas HaMazon, what it is, and 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever it is. The other way is to understand, no, that the Rambam, when he gave those age limits, and the Rif, when he gave his age limits, they were being bedafka. Now, what about if he's less than that, but it looks like he has das? So the Rashba over here, Memchas Amud Aleph, says the significance of this age is that they're in a parsha of chinuch. And therefore, if it's less than that, even if it's a very precocious four-year-old, but he's not in the parsha of chinuch, and therefore you couldn't include him in a zimun. So that's the first mahalach, the Rif and the Rambam mahalach, that this is a shita, that the only thing we care about is yodeh lemi mevarchen, providing that perhaps he has a certain minimal age of, let's say, peutos. Tosfos, however, disagrees with the Rif and the Rambam, and as I said, because the Riff and Rambam's position was troubling because we forgot about the earlier opinions, even though supported by a Brisa. And therefore, Tosfos learns we're talking about a case of Katan Poreach, and we're adding an additional requirement. Katan Poreach is not enough. He also has to be Yodea Limi Mivarchim. And even though the story that follows, where we see how precocious Abaye and Rava were, that story is just a nice little story that reflects what Yodea Limi Mivarchim might mean, but not that we would have been Mitzdarif Rav and Abaye for Zimun. To be Mitzdarif for Zimun, you need two requirements. Number one, Katan Poreach. Number two, Yodea Limi Mivarchim. Now, then the Rush quotes at the end over here, the end of Simon Chav, a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, we're not Mitzdarif HaKatan, Achi Avishtei Sairos. And the question is, what does the Rush mean when he says this? So this is a debate. The Maharik, Shoresh Memtes, and it's cited by the Beis Yosef, understood that the Rush is coming to say that based off of this Yerushalmi, you need Gadol Mamish. And even though our sugya said you wouldn't need Gadol Mamish, Katan Poreach would have been enough, or according to the Riff and the Rambam, even less than that, that's one way to read the Rush. The Beis Yosef himself, though, thinks, no, that's not what the Rush and Yerushalmi mean. They're actually holding like the earlier view, that if you have shtei sairos, we're not medaktikin bishnosav. In other words, even if he's a katan, that's good enough. And that's what the Yerushalmi is saying. If you have shtei sairos, then we don't need to worry about anything else. Halach lamaisa, we look at Simon Kuf Tzadi Tess, if you had a tzimachlokus between the Mechaber and the Rama. The Mechaber says we pass him like the Riff and the Rambam, if we would starve for a kid, even without Cyros, as long as he's Odeh Alamim Varchim, either from the age of 6 or the age of 9, as we said earlier. And the Rama says, no, we should paskin, or at least Choshish for the sheet of the Rush, as understood by the Marek, that you need 2 Cyros. And that's certainly the minhag of Ashkenazim, that we basically are never mitzdari for katan at all, until you're bar mitzvah. We can't be mitzdari for you. I guess Adam isn't here today. We could ask him afterwards. Does Fridim actually do this? Do they have a Zimun and be mitzdari for kid for 3? I assume they do, right?
We talked about it. I don't think he ever saw
that.
Okay.
But I'm curious what the Minhag Olam is. Okay. Among our Sephardi brethren.
Maybe a little related. I think Nissim Deri, who's from Morocco, said that I think they would begin on tefillin when they were 12.
Yeah, so that's a totally different issue. I don't think it's all related. Really, tefillin should start earlier once you're Higia L'chinuch. The reason why we don't start tefillin earlier is because, and that's actually a machlokas exactly how to understand this, either the pshat is because we're concerned that you won't be able to focus, so therefore we're machmir, and therefore we don't do it till the bar mitzvah, or a month before the bar mitzvah, or 3 months before the bar mitzvah, or the other way to put it is because it's so hard to appropriately focus for tefillin, then memeil it's considered l'igiyach l'chinuch for tefillin. But I don't think that has anything to do with this subject. Now, let's talk about 3 verses 10, which as Moshe brought up. So if we take a look at Tosfos, on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Dibo Masko Katan, and also Mem Ches Amud Aleph, Tosfos notes that there's a distinction between 3 and 10. And moreover, Tosfos argues that you see from the Gemara which discussed katan amuto be'arisa, that we're much more likely to be mitzdarif someone towards 10 than for 3. So maybe this principle is only said for 10, but not for 3. That's Tosfos' view. Now, Tosfos The Rosh objects. The Rosh says, one second, faket. We saw at the Gemara, at the beginning of the Parak, absolutely the opposite. There we saw that where are we more like, more machmir? By 10. Because over there we said that if someone is outside, we could be mitzarif them for a zimun of 3, and we can't be mitzarif them for a zimun of 10. So we see that that we're more meiko, we're more likely to have, we have lower standards for 3 than we have for 10. And the reason, so basically we have here stadim lakan lakan. And other Rishonim, each of the Rishonim, or many of the Rishonim, take different positions on this question because of this factor. There's Svaros, there's a Svara to say we're more likely to be Machmir for 10. There's Svara to be, say, we're more Makel for 10. So Tosfos here discusses the issue of whether we could count a Katan towards a Minyan. If we assume that we could count him for a Zimun Lasara, so then, sounds like in the Gemara that we should also count him towards a Minyan. And therefore, and again, like the reason that we saw in the Rosh, because anyway, it's because of the Nikdashti. So maybe we should be able to count a Katan for a Minyan. So Tosfos initially quotes Rabbeinu Tam as saying, yes, indeed, you should be able to be mitzdarif a Katan for a Minyan. Bo Rabbeinu Tam, af al pi de la sochos at the chol hanishmaita, mi olach mi b'shua ben levi, damar Katan mamish osin oso snif la sara. Because Tosfos understood, or Rabbeinu Tam understood, that when we said Lasochos HaKol HaNishmaita, we're not going all the way back to Rabbi Shua ben Levi. We were going on those latter funny shitos, like Bimitztarif Shabbos, and Trey Talmid HaChamim Mechadim Zezeh Balacha. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who said 9 plus Katan Amuta Barisa, that works. That's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Gemara said, no, don't you need katan poreach plus yodeh l'mimavarach? And that was only for 3. For 3, you need katan poreach plus yodeh l'mimavarach, or gadol. But for 10, we're going to be meiko, even mutal b'arisa, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi said. That's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, if it's true for Zimun, it should be true for Minyan as well. Because we see that the Gemara equated them. Tosfos asks on this from the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. It sounds like we don't say this by Tefillah. But that's what Rabbeinu Tam thinks the halacha should be. Now, the Rishon said that even though Rabbeinu Tam thought that's the way it should be, he didn't actually practice this. He didn't do it in practice. Then Tosfos quotes a minhag that will be mitzdarif a katan for a minyan, as long as he's holding a chumash. And somebody just told me that they went to a certain Chabad on Purim, and there were 9 people plus a katan, and that's what they did. They told the katan to hold the Sefer Torah, and then the katan holding the Sefer Torah plus 9 people, and they had they kaddish and kedusha and kriyas haTorah, etc.
I think I saw that in Rav Avadia said that at least in the halacha Mura said better that person if that was happening, but they leave the minyan and not be osik in this
So I don't think we would say that. We'll talk about what the halacha is in a moment. But Rabbeinu Tam said the idea of having him hold a chumash, that's a minhag shtus. That was his lashon, not mine. Because the Gemara says, Atu Aron Gavrahu. In other words, if a katan works, it works. And if it doesn't work, having all the chumash doesn't make any difference. And even if you're going to say that there is, we do find an inyan of the Sefer Torah being mitzdarik, we find that by Kiddush HaChodesh, by being ma'aber sashan, but he's just holding a chumash. Chumash wouldn't be enough. Okay, but that's why some, like I said, they hold the Sefer Torah. They hold the Sefer Torah, and that solves that problem. The Mishnah Berurah even talks about what should you do if during, let's say, Shmona Esrei, you can't have him hold the Sefer Torah. So then you put it down in the Bima and he holds the Atzei Chaim. That's what you should do. Now, the Ri, as I said, doesn't like this. He thinks that, no, that you need a Gadol. We're not Mitzdar for Katan. Sefer Torah doesn't change anything. So how do we paskin? So the Mechaber in Siman Nunhei, Sif Dalet, writes that we're not Mitzdar for Katan for a minion. And that's why Yosef said that for Sfardim, Sfardi was at an Ashkenazi shul, Rabadia says you should walk out if they're going to try to do this shtick. Okay. But one second. L'inyan Zimun, the Mechaber Paskin, that a Katan could be Mitzdarif even towards three. So the answer is, but the Mechaber Paskin is that Davar Shebekdusha is Chamir Tfei. And that we're more Machmir for a Davar Shebekdusha, not less Machmir. But the Ramah is the opposite. The Ramah is Mekel, though he's not Mekel for a Zimun at all, but for a minion, B'shas HaVchak, you could be Mitztarev, a Katan for a minion, even without a Chumash. The Mishnah Berurah over there writes that we hold that he should hold a Chumash, it's better. The Minig is, this is from the Magen Avram, that the Katan should hold a Chumash. And moreover, the Magen Avram says that we should only do it for the aspects of tefillah b'tzibur that are a chova. So you shouldn't say the Kaddish after Aleinu. Kaddish after Aleinu isn't a required Kaddish. So if you don't have a minion of Gdolim, that should be omitted. But the Kaddish Tiskabel, or the other Kaddishim that are required, then you would say it. So how should we paskin? So the answer is, that someone who wishes to be Mekel, B'Shas Adchak, Yesh Al Milisma. It's sort of hard to define B'Shas Adchak. But the time that some communities rely upon this is in a community that they would almost never have a minion unless you're Mitzdarif the Katan. I know of such a community. Somebody else told me they lived in such a community where... they said when the rabbi's son finally became bar mitzvah, it was like a big simcha because now they're going to finally have a minion during the week. They had a minion on Shabbos. More people came on Shabbos. But during the weekday, if they didn't include the rav's son towards a minion, they wouldn't have had a minion at all, basically. And so, okay.
The whole
Sefer Torah. So yeah, have them hold the Sefer Torah. Noch besser. It's not going to hurt. Maybe it's better. That's the minute. So that's what I said before. I don't think that if you were in such a situation, you would walk out on such a thing. They're following that's an old minhag. Okay. Hopefully you live in a community where that isn't necessary. And I think in a normal community, you know, where you normally have minyanim or other times you could have a minyan, just to be mitzdaif a katan, that would be inappropriate. Then we wouldn't do it. That we wouldn't really consider a shas hadchak. So the Gemara continues and discusses what's the halacha for tzira for zimun when not all people ate bread. So the Gemara is a story. Amar Yehuda b'rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shelas mishmei d'Rav tishachu dagan b'echad achal yarek mitzdarfin. Amar Zera ba minei Rav Yehuda shmonimahu. Shiva Mahu, Amalei, Laushna. So they asked, what about not eight? What about seven? Who had it? Three people ate a yarek, not seven people washed. You could have a Zimun. Shisha. Now here we have two different girsos over here. Rashi's girsa is probably Vai. Shisha Vai, Lomi Bayulai. Oh, it's too bad I didn't ask the question of six. Whereas the other Rishonim, like the Rambam, are probably Gores. Shisha vade lomi bailei. I didn't have the shaila of six. Why? Why would six be different? Because we need ruba de minkar. Ruba de minkar ba'inan. 7 is ruba de minkar. 6 is not ruba de minkar. Now, what works? Is it just yarek? So Tosa says no. Wine would work as well, as you see from the continuation of the Gemara. So wine and yarek. Good. What about water? So here, the Beis Yosef, Simon Kuf Tzadi Zayin, says no, water wouldn't work. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham disagrees. He says water would work. Mishnah Berurah over there brings down both dayos. What's the logic? So perhaps the Beis Yosef is saying, look, water should work. Wine works because it's chashan. Yarek works, at least it has, if it's true, it's just a bar in the fashos. But at least it has some chashivas because it's zayin. Right, but mayim is lo zayni, so mechatesi yain is water. Mayim is lo zayni, so mechatesi water should be mitzdarif. If water was mitzdarif, the Gemara should say water, and we know water is less chashav than other foods. For example, you don't even make a brach on water if you're not thirsty, and therefore water isn't mitzdarif. So what's the other svara? The other svara presumably is no. That if you are thirsty, then water is as good as anything else. Because water has no nutritional value, no calories. So therefore, if you're not thirsty, then water doesn't get a bracha. But once you are thirsty, what could be more valuable and wonderful than water? And therefore, assuming that you are actually thirsty, then water would be mitzdarif. Now, yes.
Could the machlokas of having water be a similar machlokas to be tied to whether or not you need a kezias?
Okay, so let's get to that machlokas and then we'll go back to this. But maybe. So it's perhaps. Now, so what are we talking about over here? Are we talking about 3 or 10? So the Rif says we're only talking about 10. For 3, all people need to wash. And Tosos quotes this. The Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah say, 1 second. Again, same ha'ara that we keep on having. Aren't we more machmir about 10? Why are we so much more machmir about 3? The answer, presumably, is, well, we could have 2 answers. Number one is, yes, we are more machmir about 3 than 10. The only time we're more makil by 3 is dafka with respect to the svara over there that somebody who's standing outside can't be mitzdarif to the 3. Why? It's la varachara. It's not appropriate, since you're being mazkir shem shemayim, that one guy should be standing outside. But fundamentally, we're more likely to be including things in the zimun for asara, since you already have the basic zimun, just a little tosefes to say the shame, but the basic zimun has already been met. So we're more likely to be makel for 10 than for 3. That's one way to explain why they don't, to explain the Rif. The other way to explain the Rif is to say differently. No, the Rif doesn't actually hold that 10 is more chamor than 3 in this respect. It's just that you can't have ruba de minkar by 3. Why? So the easiest way to say it is because what's ruba de minkar? Ruba de minkar means you have at least 1 more than a rov. So rov is 6. Ruba de minkar is 7. Well, what would that mean for 3 people? Rov is 2. One more is three. That's not Ruben Minkar, that's Kol. In other words, it's not the pshat that fundamentally the riff over here says three is more chamor than 10. Maybe three is exactly the same as 10. But just like 10, six doesn't work because you need a Ruben Minkar. So two for three, two doesn't work because you need a Ruba Dominkar. So those are two ways to explain the Shita of the Rif. Yes?
On the Rif, the Gemara only says Kedayas of Dalga. I mean, no one ever said a person how much has to watch.
Oh, so this is a very interesting idea. So that idea that you just said, that maybe Dagan doesn't mean washing, is quoted by the Rush. The Rush has that possibility, that maybe Dagan is Dafka. Now, the question is, why would Dagan be Dafka if you don't have to wash? So this could be understood in two ways. One way is the Madane Yantif on the Rush. The Madane Yantif on the Rush says that it doesn't mean Dagan Dafka. What the Rush means, I think it's Otman, let me just pull it up over here, find it. What the Rush means is Lafuke Yayin. Right, so I'll just read you the Lashon of the Rush first of all. And it's towards the end of Siman Chaf Aleph. Aval Shtia Ba'alei Shel Yarek Lo Mehani. Deba'inan Achilas Davar Shiroi Lomer Alav Shalosh Brachos. Oh, Shema Bracha Achas Me'ein Shalosh Shapir Dami. Medinaka Kazayis Dagan. The low naka kazai is pas. So the first thought is you need to actually be able to bench. And then he says, no, you know what? Maybe even something that you could say main shalosh. Why? Because if it meant bench, it would say pas. It says dagan. Midinaka kazai is dagan. The low naka kazai is pas. The taima. Why would that be? Kevan de ika chila, ika bracha, de oraisa shapir dami. This is assuming, of course, that main shalosh is deraisa. If you hold main shalosh is deraisa, that would be good enough. So alei shel yarek, we would not say works. However, dagon would be enough. Main shalosh alamichi would be enough. And the diak is because this is dagon, not pas. So what is coming to be excluded? So if we look over here at the, I think again it was Madana Yantif, he says, Oshem abracha achas main shalosh. Umihas achila ba'ina. Wine would not count. You need achila. But I assume he's saying that if you had grapes, that would be good enough. The way I had read the Rush, this second side in the Rush, the benching is la'dafka, the way I had read the Rush is that what he actually means is, it means alamichi, it has to be dagan. It wouldn't be grapes, right? Main shalosh, meaning dagan. Because that's the diuk. The diuk, after all, is that it says dagan and apas. Now, why would you say that way? What's the logic? So the answer, I assume, would be that the fact that we make al hamechia on pas shows that it's much more close to birkas hamazon, right? What do I mean we make al hamechia on pas haba b'kisnin? As we saw earlier, most Rishonim probably learn that pas haba b'kisnin is a type of pas, yet you make a main shalosh. And it's a main shalosh d'oraisa. The Rush says. So therefore, Masha'en came, even though I guess al ha-peiros or al ha-gefen are also deraisa, but it's not pas. And the bracha of al ha-michi is much more similar to the bracha of hazan, because we're talking about michya, kalkala, as opposed to eitz and pri-ha-eitz or pri-ha-gefen. So then there's two deos in the Rush, and then even within that Rush, Rush's second deya, That could be learned two ways. The way the Madani Yantif, I think, meant it is Me'en Shalosh, except wine. Or the way I was suggesting was that it means a Me'en Shalosh on Dagon. Fine. Now, it says in a Gemara, so, what does that mean? What does that mean? So, Rashi holds that if you had a kazayis dagon, even though you're not mechuyav, only midrabana, after all, you had you didn't have a kadei sviya. You just ate a kazayis. Still, you could be motzi asarabim, meaning to say, could lead the zimun. A derabanan could be motzi a deoraisa. Rashi asks on himself from the Gemara about katan, because over there we say that he can't be motzi others, even though l'chora katan is chayev midrabanan. And he answers that really a katan isn't chayev, even midrabanan, because the mitzvah chinuch is upon the father. Rabbi Akiva Eger over here in Agilya Nashas asks a very obvious question on Rashi. He says that Rashi seems to be refuted from the Gemara earlier on Daf Chaf on the base. The Gemara over there asked, are women chayavos in Birkas HaMazon? Are they pturos? Why would they be pturos? It's not mitzvah sasesha as man grama. Rashi over there says because they don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Tosus over there said that's not a good reason, and Kohanim and Levim also should be excluded. Rashi might respond, yeah, but the Levia, at least have Ari Levia. Anyway, Tosus gives a different answer. Lashitaso, that Bris and Torah are deraisa, so women might be excluded because they're less of a Bris for Torah. That's the Gemara Shaila. Are women chayavos and Bris and Birkas and Mazon deraisa or deraban? The Gemara says Lamai Nafkamina. Maybe you would have thought, oh, Nafkamina would be suffic, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the Nafkamina is whether they can be motzi others. If they're chayavos deraisa, so then a woman could be motzi a man. If she isn't chayavos midaraisa, then she could be motzi rab midei chodvasa. The Gemara, in the end, actually doesn't answer the question. It seems to be a vital lifshita. But what's relevant for us is that the Gemara seems to say explicitly that Aleph Tzad, that women are not chayavos, they can't be motzi a man. And that's explicitly against Rashi, because Rashi holds that, of course, anytime someone is chayav midera, banan and berkas amazon, like yerek azayis, he could be motzi, someone who's chayav deraisa. And ketanim are just different because they're not really chayav. So that's what Rabbi Akiva's kasha, very strong kasha. Let's take a look at the Pnei Yeshua. He answers this kasha. Pnei Yeshua answers, more or less, that the difference is as follows. It's a very important yesod. If women are excluded from Birkas HaMazon, it's because they're mufka from Birkas HaMazon. They're shayach to mitzvos. But for whatever reason, they're excluded from Birkas HaMazon because they don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and Birkas HaMazon is shayach to the land, or Tosfos is reasoning, whatever it is. So therefore, since they're mufka from the mitzvos, so then, of course, they can't make a Birkas HaMazon and be motzi a man who's chayav mederaisa. Mashen kein, a katan. A katan is not mufka. It just, he's a lav bar das. It's almost like a technicality. And that's actually a very interesting chakira. How do you look at a katan? Do you look at it as just because he lacks das, he's not chayav? Or is he mufka? So Rashi must hold that a katan is very different than an isha. If an isha was excluded from Birkas HaMazon, it means because she's mufka from this particular mitzvah. A katan, he's going to be a gadol soon. It's just right now, he lacks das. It's a technicality preventing him from being able to fulfill. And therefore, if Taka the Katan would have been Chayav Midrabanan, he could be Motzi the man. It just that happens to be that he's not even Chayav Midrabanan, because Chinuch does not create a Chinuch. That's the view of Rashi. However, Rashi, first of all, quotes the Bahag. The Bahag holds that if you ate Kazayas, you didn't eat a Kedei Sviya, then you wouldn't be able to be motzi others. And Rashi asks on him from our sugya. Interesting to ask, to figure out how to answer out for the Bahag. And then there's another shita. And there are variations in the shita in most Rishonim. And that is that they sort of agree to Rashi. They agree that fundamentally, Derabanan shouldn't be able to be Motziya Deraisa. Like, let's say women, Al Hatzad, that they are only Chayavos Midrabanan. But over here, someone who ate Kedei Kezias could be Motzi someone who ate a Kedei Sfiyah. Why is that? That's because really someone who ate nothing at all should be able to be Motzi somebody else. Why? Because of the principle of Yatza Motzi, because of the principle of Arvos. Really, in theory, based off of Arvos, even if I didn't eat at all, I should be able to bench for you. Except Midrabanan, they said no. They said, just like Bracha Rishona, so to Bracha Achrona, you have to have eaten. But once I ate enough to bench Midrabanan, I've eaten a Kezias, then for sure I could be Motzi, someone who's Chayav Midoraisa. Because again, Nikra Din, I don't need to eat anything at all. Based off of Arvos, I should be able to be Motzi, someone who is Chayav Midoraisa. The Rush notes that the Yerushalmi doesn't, and Tosis also, the Yerushalmi doesn't sound that way, because Yerushalmi makes a drasha, v'achalta mi sha'achal hu yivarech, which sounds like it's a din de'oraisa, it's a drasha. But the Rush says that Yerushalmi is just an asmachta ba'alma. Rashba says a similar thing. So therefore, according to all these Rishonim, as long as you ate a kezias, all the Rishonim except for the Ba'ag, as long as you ate a kezias, you could be motzi someone, even if they ate kedei tzviya. So how do we paskin on the shaila? So the tour and the Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Tzadi Zayin Siv Dalet say, l'chatchila we should be choshish for the behag, and therefore who should lead the zimun? Someone who ate kedei tzviya. So you have five people eating together. Now the question is who's going to lead the zimun? So if some of those people are full, and some of those people aren't full, then the people that are full should be the ones to lead the Zimun. And that way, the person leading the Zimun will be Chayav in Birkas HaMazon Midoraisa. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out that was only relevant, that's L'chatchila, Mitzvah Min HaMovcha. Mikra Adin, we don't pass in that way, we don't accept the Ba'ag. Mitzvah Min HaMovcha, you should follow the Ba'ag Shita. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out that's only in the olden days when the person leading the Zimun would actually be Motia, the other people. But nowadays, where everybody anyway benches on their own, so that's not relevant anymore. And then you may as well just have anybody is equally relevant to bench, because since the person is just leading the Zimun, but he's not actually being Motzi them in Birkas HaMazon, the Svara of the Bahag isn't relevant, and therefore whoever wants to bench could bench. Okay, so we will stop here, and Be'ezras Hashem, pick up after Yontif. I want to wish you all a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and I think Pesach for us this year will have new meaning on many levels. Among other things, having learned the study of Pasim Abakistan, we'll have new appreciation of Matzah and Lechem Oni. We actually did a lot of Sachem Sagiyot.
Is there a problem of egg
matzah and matzah mevushalas? We talked about matzah brai. Right, a lot of people this Shabbos for the
Hamotzi on egg matzah.
For Hamotzi this Shabbos, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I used to learn with his grandson, so he would have boiled matzah for because boiled matzah is perfect. It's Hamotzi, like we saw, assuming it's bigger than a kezias, but it can't be yotze, like the sugya that we saw, because matzah mevushalas, you're not yotze. So Rav Aaron said that's the best etza. It's interesting because the Gra says it doesn't count. The Gra holds that the Rambam thinks that the Isser is equally for matzah shira and even matzah mevushalas. But we don't paskin like that Gra. So that's why, and because egg matzah has its other concerns, so that's where Van Soloveitchik, they used to have boiled matzah. So I asked his grandson, how does it taste? So he said, it's horrible. It's terrible. Boiled matzah is the worst. So what you see is mamish akiyum in halachic man. Mm. And the geshmak of Torah. Because what's the whole idea? Why are you eating this, right? Why are you driving yourself crazy to have shalosh shittos? What's the point of shalosh shittos? Einik Shabbos. right? To enjoy it. So for most people, this is like a ridiculous etzah, because the whole point is oneg Shabbos, and you're torturing yourself by eating this disgusting boiled matzah. That's not oneg Shabbos. But for Ravan Soloveitchik, for Talmidei Chachamim, they get such hana from the geshmak of figuring out a chak to eat shalashudis, you know, beheter in the proper zman, in the lechatchila way, right? Because, you know, people eat in the morning, that's not lechatchila, because you really should have shalashudis after chatzos. And the people that have it later, lechatchila, you should really wash. And the people that have egg matzah, well, the Ramah says you shouldn't have egg matzah, right? So they, the geshmak, the hana that they get from eating this boiled matzah, that's also oneg Shabbos. It might not taste so good, but it's a different type of oneg. So it's a new way to world. Look at the world. Okay, Chavra.
Does Shabbos have the same status of cooking?
Yeah. We talked about that.
So maybe it'll taste better if you fry it.
What?
Maybe it'll be better.
It's not clear frying has the same status of cooking. That's the point. That's the question.
When it comes to egg matzah, so the Ramah says...
All right, we'll stop here. I'm going to stop the video. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
So when it comes to egg matzah, so the Ramah says, Erev Pesach, so a person still shouldn't have it, Ashkenazi.
Right.
So for those people who do want to be yotzei with egg matzah,